Welcome to the Information Systems for Business podcast. The main purpose of the podcast is to augment the book Information Systems for Business, An Experiential Approach, 5th edition, by Franz Boulanger, Craig Van Slyke, and Rob Crossler. The book is published by Prospect Press. I'm your host, Craig Van Slyke. This episode is for the 5th edition of the textbook. Before we get started, I wanted to give a couple of disclaimers. The podcast purposely omits many details to get to the high points of each chapter, so listening to the podcast is not a substitute for reading the book. Each episode contains my view of the most important points of each chapter. Your professor may have a different view of what's important. The podcast is solely my responsibility, so any errors are on me, not my co-authors, your professors, Prospect Press, or my employer. All right, enough with the disclaimers, let's get to the good stuff. In this episode, we provide an overview of the most important points from Chapter 4, Analyzing Information for Business Decision-Making. The focusing story for Chapter 4 tells a true story from one of the co-authors, Dr. Rob Crossler. The story tells about how Rob and his wife went about choosing which schools to apply to in order to get his PhD. They used a sort of decision matrix, which is described in the chapter, to narrow a list of hundreds of potential programs to a manageable handful of programs that were the best fit for Dr. Crossler and his family. You will make literally, and I mean literally literally, not figuratively literally, tens of thousands of decisions in your life. Many of these are trivial, but a lot of them will be important. So in Chapter 4, we discuss effective ways of using information to make sound decisions. After the focusing story, Chapter 4 discusses the importance of having good decision-making skills. It then describes the relationship between information and decision-making. This is followed by defining and giving examples of three kinds of decisions: structured, semi-structured, and unstructured decisions. I'll define these a little later. Next, Chapter 4 presents two decision-making processes. This section also describes several decision-making techniques that can be applied to various decision-making tasks. The chapter wraps up by discussing some information retrieval and analysis tools. Here are the main points from Chapter 4. A decision is simply a choice among alternatives. Making good decisions requires good information, but also requires good decision-making skills, processes, and tools. Being able to make sound decisions that result in good outcomes is a critical business skill and life skill. Being an excellent decision-maker will positively impact your career regardless of your profession. Information is necessary for good decision-making. You need information to understand the decision's objectives, the constraints that limit the available alternatives, and the alternatives themselves. Information is also necessary for forecasting potential outcomes from each alternative and for comparing and selecting among the alternatives. In short, information is the lifeblood of effective decision-making. We can think of decisions as falling along a continuum from structured decisions, which are routine and repetitive and often have well-defined ways of dealing with them, to unstructured decisions, which are novel and do not have agreed-upon procedures for making them. Semi-structured decisions fall somewhere in between these two extremes. We can combine this view of decisions with a framework that categorizes managerial activity into three categories: strategic planning, managerial control, and operational control. The combined framework gives a nice matrix of different sorts of decisions managers face. See Table 4.1 for some examples. Herbert Simon, a Nobel Prize-winning economist, among other things, developed a widely used model of decision-making that consists of four phases. Intelligence, which includes activities that alert decision-makers of the need for a change in the current state of affairs. Such changes require decision-making. Design, which involves developing alternatives for bringing about the required change or achieving the required goals. Choice, in which the most effective alternative is selected. And finally, the decision is carried out in the implementation phase. Table 4.2 shows some examples of information systems that can help in each phase. Although Simon's model is very useful, it can be helpful to consider a more detailed process that can be easier to put into practice. One such process includes 7 phases. Identify and clearly define the problem. Determine the requirements and goals. And I want to take a minute here and talk about requirements and goals. Requirements are conditions that any acceptable solution must provide. Think of requirements as must-haves. Goals are desirable conditions that are not strictly required. Think of goals as I'd like to haves. For example, when finding an apartment, 2 bathrooms might be a requirement, and an extra bedroom might be a goal. Any apartment with only 1 bathroom is discarded from the list of alternatives, but apartments that lack the extra bedroom will be retained for further consideration. In the next phase, you identify alternatives. Then you define evaluation criteria. Criteria are measures or indicators of the requirements and goals. Next, you select a decision-making technique or tool. Some examples are pros-cons analysis, paired comparisons, and decision matrix. See the book for descriptions of these. The next phase involves evaluating the alternatives using the criteria. And then finally, you should check that your selected alternative solves the problem. Of course, you still have to implement the selected alternative, but that's not considered a decision-making phase in this particular model. Information retrieval tools help you gather the information you need for decision-making. Electronic spreadsheets such as Excel or Google Sheets are very useful information analysis tools. What-if analysis, sometimes called scenario analysis, and goal-seek analysis are especially useful. What-if analysis involves seeing how changes in one or more input variables affects one or more outcome variables. In goal-seek analysis, you specify the value of an outcome variable, then the software determines the value of a particular input variable that will produce the desired output. Data visualization tools are also helpful for analyzing data. Well, that's it for this time. You know what's coming next, don't you? Right? There's a lot more detail in the chapter, so read the book. Bye.